gate won't even close because the road's in the way. What do you think, Antonio?
My God!
I love our people.
Antonio's right, though.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Man, every time something's like not going right and people ask for feedback and I say no good, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, so explain to the people what Antonio was talking about.
Something that was no good.
There was a fence and it was not working on the road, and then it was...
Yeah. They built a brand new road, mm-hmm. and they didn't account for this fence that had to close again. So now the fence is getting stuck to this brand new paved road.
You got a white guy yeah. asked Antonio who made the fence, and Antonio said, "What? No,
no good." I love it, man.
Oh,
he's right.
There's so much empathy in that. He understood what was going on.
That came from the depths of his soul.
He's like, "It's no good." No,
he felt that. Yeah, shit.
Part of him died right then and there.
Oh my God! Wait, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
It's your birthday special.
Oh,
it's my
shit,
birthday.
Everybody.
Hit some buttons. Hit some buttons.
All of them.
Oh, yeah, that's ominous. That's better. It's the Erica L. Sanchez birthday special for America.
Bruce Springsteen, happy birthday. Fuck everybody except America. Sing it hard. Happy birthday, Erica. USA, fuck you.
All right.
Nice.
Wow.
Damn. That's the most beautiful.
Not
thing.
Good.
Happy birthday. That shit was fucking fire, yo.
Done for me.
You hate America.
Me and Antonio just
Antonio doesn't love America.
We're figuring it out.
Well, I'm glad that he's getting some shine out there, Antonio.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
To you.
I am 39 years young.
Mm-hmm.
I have embraced my señora tendencies, I don't know, sensibilities, I suppose, without all the, you know.
All the riffraff.
All the riffraff, the emotional abuse, you know, shit like that. Making people feel bad without saying anything. Just your, like...
Like, not a lot of shoulder shrugging and all that.
The Jedi mind tricks are not there yet?
Oh no! I really hope to change this for my daughter and subsequent generations.
What do you think Antonio has to say about this evolution?
Not good.
I think it's very good. Very unhealthy.
Antonio's not always
very
right,
unhealthy.
Dude. I gotta say, she hasn't been passive aggressive on her birthday, which, you know.
No, I'm like all grateful and shit. I feel loved. I feel seen. I feel, you know, happy with my life and my choices.
So what about this birthday? Because I could imagine just knowing you that your other birthdays you may not have felt so seen.
So
what about this birthday? What made it that way for you?
That's a good question. This is, I feel, the first time in my life that I feel really fulfilled and safe and emotionally healthy, and you know, I feel like I belong to a community. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Everything is lining up, and I'm really happy that I get to write every day, you know, and that's my life. So, with all of that, I am, you know, filled with gratitude in many different ways. And I feel like that has, you know, made me happier, because gratitude equals happiness. And, my daughter supposedly made a cake for me. I don't really believe it. Yeah.
That's some.
She's 2.5.
Señora shit right there. Yeah. You don't believe your daughter?
Yeah. Can we get into that one a little later?
She slaved all day in front of her. She's only 2.5. And she made you a fucking... You're like fat chance, little motherfucker. That's what you're saying to her, basically? Like, damn. All right.
She's really...
I thought she was trying to break the chains of...
talented. Trauma and stuff. I don't think she can work an oven yet.
Dude, you crack me up too, because one time you were like, I was like, oh, this turkey. I'm like, did your daughter make this turkey in at school? And I'm like, nah, the teachers did.
It's true. It's true. The very lovely señoras there sometimes just make her projects a lot more aesthetically pleasing. And I find that very funny and cute. And yeah.
Because otherwise the final product would be what, Antonio?
Not good. Yeah.
Poor Antonio, though.
Can I do that, or is that racist? If I'm like, oh, you good?
You just did right. It, and it's very racist.
That was still funny, though. Know. Hey.
It's not like we're slandering Antonio. We're like, we love Antonio.
No. He's right. He's right.
Like, he's an icon.
Like, he had a lot of empathy.
He said like, so much in two words.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. He's a, it's an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
Put so much. He told a story in two words.
Mm-hmm.
He really did.
Yeah.
And that story?
An artist.
Of pain.
That's what he is. So,
story of deep, deep existential pain.
I hope these motherfuckers pay me to fix it.
Yeah.
They better.
We got to add that as one of the sound effect buttons.
Yeah.
Like,
no, Oh, yeah. We gotta,
yeah.
I don't know. We're technically, I don't know if you guys know this, our technical skills are not great.
They're
hitting
very
the wrong buttons, low. Too many yeah, buttons.
But you know.
That's why I keep looking at Jorge to do it, like just to say it.
Every time you want to just point.
We're very low tech. Yeah. This is the analog version of that.
Can we talk about how Chicago is a real cute bitch right now?
Oh, you mean it's like summertime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
This tells me, I know you mentioned it last week, that we have been doing this a year.
Yeah.
Because that was something that came up about a year ago on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It was like very geographically specific to our audience. It was very Chicago-based. We were just like on one. We're like, oh, it's a fucking beautiful day. And we're amazing. Back. We're back a year later.
You know what? Out.
75.
Travel to Chicago right now. What is it? June. June is your...
Everybody's out right now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You've been cooped up for a minute.
A good mood.
I want to say don't, because... Just don't. We want it to ourselves.
Yeah, stay the fuck out.
Stay away.
Yeah.
We got enough motherfuckers here. We're doing
our
great.
Food is
actually
really bad.
Chicago is no good.
Chorro. Yeah.
Diarrhea all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But
undercooked. You're here. Chickens. If you're already here though,
it's lovely.
Man, we're living it up today. Today has been
we earn it. Amazing. We earn it.
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell, we've been celebrating Erica's birthday all day. I'm fucking lit. I'm fucking lit. All right, we didn't even start yet.
Yeah, we ate some smoked meats. Ready.
Yeah,
we ate some carrot cakes.
Oh, the carrot cake was delicious.
Was so is there some left?
There's some left. Yeah, we got you. We got you.
I mean, you're lucky, but we got you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's been a beautiful day. We've been hanging out outside.
I hugged a tree.
Today feels like a hammock feels.
Yeah, like that. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you a poet? Erica, can you like touch that up for him as a poet? Because that was
again, Antonio. What was it? No good.
No good.
That sounds like my daughter. That reminds me of something she would say.
Today feels like a hammock feels,
and then I got a beret on,
and it feels like a cranny, not a nook.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my Not God. Enough.
What a great poem.
Ugh. Hello, this is Erica L. Sanchez, and it's my motherfucking birthday.
Brap! Happy birthday.
And
pew pew.
We keep hitting the wrong buttons. I love it.
Oh, no.
That's also not good.
Okay.
Yeah!
Yeah, right, that's it. All
right. Happy birthday.
Thank you, I suppose. Anyway, this is the No Chingas podcast, and In this podcast, we just talk about whatever we feel like talking about and talk some shit and crack some jokes and, you know, get serious, get weird, all the things.
Mostly weird,
yeah. We're big on that. So, yeah, who's next?
What's up? It's Roddy. You know why I'm here. I'm here for children. I don't want to be here, but I feel like I have to be. Get a youngest game. So
they need it.
You know, yeah, they need that shit right now.
A hero.
So brave.
Thank you.
Nice.
You're welcome.
My name's Jorge. I was once a youngin' looking for mentorship like Roddy provides. And now, you know, now we chop it up at Beanie Baby conventions, I think. And Martin cut it close, but man, I was ready to write up a story for why you couldn't be here. I was like, oh, wheels returning.
That's why I got here.
Yeah.
I was afraid.
It's always a butt problem. Because we're fucking.
It's not talked about enough.
He made it. There's still diarrhea involved, but he did make it.
And he slipped on some of it.
There's a trail. There's a trail proving that I got here recently.
When he slipped on his own diarrhea, we thought he wouldn't make it, but somehow. Somehow, his minivan has a lot of extra pairs of clothes in it.
Yeah. Oh my God. When my chiropractor asks why I'm there, it's just like, I go, it's a long story.
Wow.
I am Martin Malecho, PhD in Pendejadas from Danny Trejo University. Clearly, I have diarrhea. But most importantly, and I've been saying this for years and nobody's willing to jump on board with me, I am very interested in either joining or starting a cult.
What would you name it?
I mean, we can get to that. I don't know what I'll name it. I just need a committed group of people to say I'm in, and you guys are just not that right now.
Well, you're not. You don't even got a name.
You need a charismatic leader.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where are you gonna get that from?
Check, double check.
Where are you gonna get that from?
Like, he's what, looking in the mirror. He's like, you're charismatic. Yeah.
My diarrhea won't carry it forward.
No.
No,
your diary can only take you so far.
I think that's a cute story. I think that's where my charisma comes from.
Your charisma. Maybe
I'm wrong. Like, I don't know why motherfuckers follow other motherfuckers, so maybe I'm wrong because your story sounds terrible. But
yeah, it's just a group of dehydrated folks.
I've seen these people are not charismatic. No. As much as they say you need a charismatic leader, I mean, I think me with diarrhea, I can get the job done.
I think they'd be like, at least he's honest. This motherfucker's got a lot of diarrhea and he talks about it all the time.
And don't we all?
I gotta respect him for that.
And don't we all at some point have the diarrhea? Yeah,
so we really gotta respect him.
He's relatable. Yeah, I'm relatable. Yeah. I'm the relatable cult leader.
Okay, let's pivot.
Are you sure?
I thought there was like some. This was bearing fruit.
I thought we had some legs here. But good. Yeah. No, I mean,
if you just quoted Antonio again.
Creative director and founder of the podcast. Anyway. If you feel that we need to, you know, change directions.
Yeah.
Suppose we will.
I am the CEO of this bitch. Okay. Anyway, my no chingues is I went to New York for something really fun, and I was visiting a friend, and great trip, right? However, man, I did not realize how bad the homeless situation was there currently. I mean, I've been to New York many times. But this time it felt different, and it felt, I don't know, kind of scary. The fact that we're letting people just, you know, lay in the streets. It's so strange to me that we allow human beings to live like that. And so, I don't know. I found it very startling, and it's been going on here in Chicago as well, where there's just like tons of tents set up everywhere, and so many people are struggling, and we don't have the infrastructure, often the desire to help them to make their life a little bit easier in some form. And and then the migrants are here as well, and so there are just tons of people without a home that are struggling. And yeah, it's a bit overwhelming, and I've been trying to help in ways that I can, but it's still something that is hard to live with and to see and to just go about your day, you know?
Yeah. Erica, weren't you saying that the overflow from the shelters is migrants now, like, at police station floors or something? Like, it got really, it's getting really
that's the first place that they've been. Mm-hmm. And they've been there for weeks and over maybe a month
and
now.
And some churches have taken people, and other areas of the city have been opened up, right?
There's already a homeless problem here, and so it's just getting worse. So it's really it's sad, and so we, like, I don't know, there are, like, little tent cities and stuff, like, underpasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like by Lakeshore, you'll see them, you know, dotted up and down north and south side. You'll see, like, under the underpass, there will be
a shit ton of those.
Yeah, shit ton, like, tons and tons and tons. It's like, some of them have, like, porta potties and all kinds of stuff out there, because, like, it makes sense at this point, but it's also like, damn, we got motherfuckers just living in tents under bridges.
Yeah.
And, like, we're supposed to be okay with that.
In the wealthiest nation on the planet.
And we have all these
impressive cities that they're all at, too.
Yeah, in D.C., they're everywhere.
I was in Seattle, and it was so much more than Chicago. It was very different.
It's intense, man.
And we have all these buildings that are just empty.
Yeah.
Businesses, houses, you know, that are just chilling. Like, you know, I mean, there's space. It's just, I don't know,
part of,
yeah, imagine during COVID when all these commercial leases were so underutilized, people were working from home, mm-hmm. or places just like, yeah, there was just no office use. They still couldn't find, you know, see what I'm saying? Like, there's big separation of, like, church and state on the issue of, you want to help, but you won't help because the math is not mathing, really.
Capitalism doesn't give a fuck. Capitalism is here to wring people out. And these folks do not offer value to the system. So they are useless. So they are disposable. So we don't give a fuck about them. There is a lack of humanity. And part of the issue for me is always, you can do what you can and you should. And we all try to do what we can as individuals, which is great, right? Like, you try as an individual, you donate your time, your energy, your money, all of those things. But this is a systemic issue that needs a systemic solution. And there is no system involved here where it is going to approach this and tackle it the right way. Because if we look and we're brutally honest, the system doesn't give two shits about these people. They are disposable. Like,
With the math, it's easy to fix, no?
What do you mean?
Like, you're saying they don't give a shit because it's kind of a problem that's fixable.
And right now, it's sustainable. They're there. Who cares?
During not COVID with, like, empty office buildings, straight up mathematically.
Oh, yeah. Space-wise, that's what I'm
saying. Who's going to profit from that? No, I'm saying this is extreme, too. There's got to be a profit. But even in general, there's just space. It's not like we've run out of space. We've run out of shits to give, and that's the fucked up part.
You look at these countries, and people like this, oh, socialism. You look at these countries that have, like, genuinely, if you are, there's social safety nets actually exist, right? Like, supports actually exist. There are not, this issue is not what it is in other countries that have that system, these systems and these things in place. I think we just have to, like, look ourselves in the mirror as a country and say, like, we don't give a fuck. Like, we genuinely do not give a fuck, right? You might as an individual give a fuck, and we might as groups, right? Like, these groups are doing good things, but I'm like, we genuinely as a system, as a country, do not care about these
people. We never have.
No.
But, like, think about too, like, who in capitalism and even in democracy, like, these people, it's very hard for people like that to vote, for one. So, like, the leaders are not going to give a fuck. Like, why would you care if you have a population that's never going to have any sway on if you have power or money in any way whatsoever? So it's really not built into the system even. Like, you know what I mean? And then, you know, so you have that, and then, like, if you're not making money for people that vote.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, well, why are we voting for you again? I know you might be helping all these people that need housing, but, like, I'm not doing better than that. So it's, I mean, that's why when we talk about, like, the system, it's sort of hard to, it's like, see how it can, you know, you can make it outside of this system.
Yeah.
the system clearly tells you like what's in it for me, which is like that's not the way social services should work. And we just heard of one. I heard of another one today. I know last time we talked about was it like the youth getting legal work in like these like meatpacking joints? So it's like abuse of power, like just like obviously doing that. Today I heard of natural disaster cleanups is a fucked up area it's there's like toxins and there's things that people are getting paid very little to even engage with. And then there's stories where they just like do very hard work, risky work, risk averse work, for very little reward. But it's like that they're gonna do a job, right? And then they'll like just like get contaminated by the setting, so they might have to go back to their country sick as hell. The job was all transactional contract work, and then these companies getting money off all these government contracts when it comes time to a hurricane came by, a tornado got through the city, there's companies ready, and that's probably good news in their inbox of natural disasters because they have the human capital to do it for cheap. And it's super dangerous work oftentimes.
Well, there's a reason that the wealthy have a different life expectancy than the poor. And I believe, don't quote me on it because I'm probably wrong, but I don't think I am. I think there's like a 15-year difference between like if you are in the upper echelon of in terms of class in the United States versus the bottom. Like there's a genuine cost to being poor, right? Like, so you are disposable. The system doesn't appreciate you. You don't do anything for capitalism. You are going to die in all likelihood 15 years before somebody, on average, of course, someone who's yeah, go ahead.
You should have ate the potato salad.
Yeah, and you know what we were talking about last week where Florida made it impossible for undocumented workers to live in Florida, basically to work because it was like
we're going to exist.
To exist, so you can't work. Yet telling you. And you see, you're seeing videos of like a bunch of stuff that's not picked, a lot of work that wasn't done, a lot of crops that are ruined because of that. And again, I ask, the whole point of not wanting these immigrants to come is because they're taking their jobs. So where the fuck were the Americans to come pick that shit? Where were they at? Where were they?
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, like why didn't they come to do that? Oh, because
bring their bootstraps and their gumption?
Because this work is damn right illegal, the way
brutal, like exploitative, just terrible outright.
So like that is the system. Like think about it for like 1 second.
But I think and that's the issue. I think we consistently have to talk about these systems because a lot of times we end up having these discussions at a like smaller level. And it's like you're blaming individuals. Like look at this individual person and their individual action and their individual choice, and that's why they're where they're. I'm like, you're not. This system is functioning exactly as intended.
Yeah.
Right? You offer up something to the system, you're going to be rewarded. And if you don't, we don't really give a fuck and tough shit. Right? And that goes, again, life expectancy. So if you are born, if there's a child born into poverty right now, they're doomed. Right? On average. By 15 years. They're about to lose 15 years of life or whatever it happens to be. Like, please fact check me on it. But they are doomed from birth, right? And you're like, well, in America, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm like, actually, if you look at social mobility in all these countries throughout the world,
very limited.
We are worse than like all these fucking countries. We are like, I don't know where we fall on this ranking in terms of social mobility, but it's not high. It's we're at the bottom of industrialized nations. It is terrible.
Everyone talks about globally. You talk about GDP, like gross domestic product, just the shit you can pump out and make, but that's not a tell of how you're treating the labor that's making that output.
Right.
So,
I mean,
we should talk about mobility.
China and the workers and that rights there.
It's insane work.
It's so, wow. And then I feel like such a hypocrite because I have an iPhone, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but again, that's it goes back to the thing.
Right.
That's an individual decision, and we can all say like we can do better as individuals. And I'm not saying don't, But I'm like, that's not where this lives.
Right.
Like, that's not what changes things.
That's true. That's so true. But it just feels icky.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way because I've always thought about the alternative. And it's like, well, I could just have an Android, which probably came to me the same way.
Exactly. There's no way out of it.
We're, in certain areas, we're limited because the capitalist system got us that far. We're like super stuck. Like, if you want to pump gas, you're getting it from like three companies. If you want a phone, you're getting it from like four companies. It's been accepted, and it's kind of lack of competitiveness, or lack of competition, where it's like, yeah, it's gotten pushed to the bottom in terms of wages and treatment, and those factories in China, they're like, the stories that came out were insane, right?
Oh my God.
We haven't talked about that in a while. Remember when that came out?
It was horrific.
Yep. Yeah. And the factories here too, considering that they're children.
But what do we love to do though? We love to look at other countries who are exploiting their labor, exploiting their children, exploiting, you know, you name it. And we look at them and go like, can you believe that they do this? That's wild.
Who's got another?
I got one.
I got another.
Go ahead.
I think it's a funny one too. Cause we're talking about like all this work that really gets done. And then let me tell you about the work that, that really gets done. So I came across this, this article and, had a short video with it, and it was about how Tom Cruise did this one stunt 6 times. So it's like, no, people are doing real work. Let me just preface. People are doing real work every day. He was doing a stunt where he had to ride a motorcycle off of a cliff. And I think on the first or second try, they're like, dude, that was actually perfect. Like, he's doing his own stunts, this fucking short career actor, and he's just doing the most, honestly. Because he did it 2 times and then parachuted down, and they're like, perfect. We got the perfect shot. He did it like 4 more. He did it 6 total times. We're like, what? Dude, people are doing real work, and you swear. He just is self-obsessed and just wanted the perfect shot.
Oh, my God.
But if after 1 time someone tells me it was like, perfect, all right, dope.
Yeah, what a loser.
That's kind of crazy. You're doing the most.
And I'm going to join you on shit talking this. However, the moment this Mission Impossible movie comes out, I'm watching the fuck out of it. Those movies are dope.
I mean, he worked for it. Yeah, go watch it. But I'm like, dude, you are literally doing the most. Just like, chill a little bit.
And then, has that second take.
All this coverage.
He's not an artist. Wouldn't ruin the
movie for you if you're like, well, I feel like
6 takes is a lot of takes for that.
What a fucking waste of resources.
Yeah, you wasted 6 bicycles.
That's insane.
Motorbikes, but. That was Mano Chingas. I was just so upset.
I mean,
that the gall.
The gall.
Yeah, fuck Tom Cruise in general. Just, I'm going to just say that.
Except for the way that he runs. He runs in a way that gets you like hyped up to run. Like, I feel like, should I go out and run right now? Because that looked amazing. And I'm like, I know it's all like cinema. It's all Hollywood. But so, I'm like
I bet in the movies he runs like a badass, but I bet he jogs like a bitch. You know what I mean? Mm.
He's also like 75 years old.
And he will continue to make these movies until he's like in his 90s.
Like you, like,
and then
even
when he's dead, he'll keep doing them.
You're watching CGI, Old Man Run and being like,
AI will get him in there.
You're watching Old Man Run. He'd be the type to like
upload his cerebellum into the cloud.
Yeah,
I'm doing that. I'm totally doing that.
You put your deposit down already.
Oh yeah, I'm in.
You'd put your cerebellum in the cloud?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think this wisdom should be wasted? Yeah,
no one's gonna give a fuck. Like, no one will care. That's the only problem. Like, you could put it up there. No one's gonna download. It'd be like 0 downloads on that cerebellum.
A few people might care a little bit. Like, maybe.
Like who?
Okay, moving on.
Just give me like a.
It's like if like a Spotify even like showed zero of, streams.
Yeah, like a type of person that would.
That's impressive.
Like, I met this one guy once who seemed like he might be interested.
Okay, cool. Like on a plane.
I have no details because
you're on a plane. And
I was on a plane. Yeah. I can't. Like he went to a different school. I don't know.
He's a door-to-door thought salesman.
He's a cryogenics guy. Like, he's the guy who got me, like,
he's like, yeah,
I'm
going to
freeze my
this?
Brain the moment I die. Yeah.
The guy that wants you to pay him to upload it. He's like, you should save this. You got a lot of good
you're
things.
Wise beyond your years. And you know what? He wasn't wrong. My no jinga is, this is the New York Post, so take that with a grain of salt, right? The New York Post is a trash.
Believe it.
Yeah. Apparently, Rage Against the Machine, their guitarist, Tom Morello, posted the following on Twitter a German saying, like a post, and it said, if 9 people sit down at a table with 1 Nazi without protest, there are 10 Nazis at the table. Which I read that shit and I go, absolutely. I that mm-hmm. is absolutely true. And apparently there was so much like smoke as a result of this. It's like people saying just outrageous things, like essentially saying like, well, then you're closing down discussion here. This is, while this sounds great, this is a terrible thing because you're saying you're closing down any sort of like, forget it. You know, you're never going to reach anybody with this attitude. And I'm like, Nazis?
Yeah.
You're worried,
so open-minded.
You worried about decorum when it comes to Nazis. Like, legitimately, this is the argument that you have. I'm like, that's 100% right. If you are quiet and watching terrible white supremacy, Nazi-esque things happening, that's you. You're doing that. You're enabling that shit to happen. I don't know what's controversial about this shit.
Damn, yeah. I literally saw you pull up the post, and I tried to read for like a typo or something. I just expected something else. When you read it, I was just like, yeah, where's the typo?
Well, my favorite part. And
people got up in arms. It's a fucking lose-lose situation we're all in.
My favorite part is that people thought, like, there are people that think Rage Against the Machine was like, would be pro-Nazi somehow. Like, like when their whole thing is like, it's been like, people are on Black Lives Matter now and the police are terrible and all. Like, they've been talking about that shit since the 90s, dog. They've been giving you game on this shit. If you listening.
True.
And like, these motherfuckers are not listening. They, I mean, you know, they say what, man, they've, if you just listen to like a hook from any Rage Against
anything.
The Machine song, and they'd be like, oh shit. Yeah. Like if they're in the forces, like they could also burn crosses. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, what are the forces? Oh, police forces, military forces, burn crosses. What does that mean? The KKK. Oh shit. Like boom. Like, right. Like just like they've been saying this shit the whole time forever. Like, so, like, the idea to be like, wait, he's not pro-Nazi? Like, what? It's hilarious.
They're not saying have a nice dinner with a Nazi and maybe talk to them, like, with a level of decorum?
Isn't it the same thing they say about, like, folks who are, like, close-minded but, like, really love Star Wars? And it's like, bro, were you listening to anything?
Right. Often, no.
The answer, that's the answer every single time.
Like, the idea that I would, like, the police, like, just in what world, if you met me once, you would know that's not true, you know? Like,
I think Wikipedia says that it's like she doesn't like the police.
You mean like Sting and shit, right? Like the police,
yeah,
the
they're pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't like them, why not?
Shut the fuck up,
Sting the wrestler. just getting in the weeds,
just to give you the one comment that I loved, from apparently some rando on Twitter was, well, this sounds principled. It isn't. It's a mechanism to stop conversation. 9 people can sit down at a table with 1 Nazi and talk and educate said single Nazi on the issue and the truth with evidence and convert that Nazi. It's called diplomacy. You're saying we could have reasoned with Nazis?
Oh, yeah, like we should. God. Like America would have joined World War II. Like they should have just been like, if they should have done diplomacy instead. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't they like?
Because Hitler was a reasonable person.
Yeah, yeah, reason with them.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Oh, because they're violent. Honestly. This it's like, it's another thing. Like these people who are dismissing this are trying to find excuses for, I would say white violence.
Yep.
In the United States, they'd be like, "Whoa, what do you mean? Like, oh, it's making excuses for it. It's saying like, oh, you're just not having the conversation with us. Well, you can't have a conversation with someone who's being violent with you.
And there's levels to this shit too, right? Like, are you asking a person of color who Nazis see as subhuman, who they see as not equal to them, who they see as something disposable, you're expecting them to sit down with a Nazi and go, well, tell me your thoughts. Let me hear your side of things. There's two sides to every issue. Let me hear yours. No, their side is you are a piece of shit who doesn't deserve to live. So guess what? I'm not having a nice meal with a Nazi. I'm also like those certain folks who have people in their family who are like pieces of shit who have these attitudes who are like, well, I don't want to make like Thanksgiving uncomfortable. So, you know, my Uncle Rob, he has some opinions. I'm like, tell him he's a piece of shit. Like,
it's the least you can do.
Why is that difficult? You know what I mean? It is the absolute least you can do. But like, no, they can't be in a position of discomfort for a millisecond before they just go, oh, I'll just let them say it.
Mm. Yeah, that's cheap. That's fucking... Ronda,
they have no work ethic.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you guys think Antonio would say about it?
You would say, if your uncle's saying that shit at Thanksgiving...
No good.
It's no good!
Who wants to talk about chingaderas?
Chingaderas?
Yeah, it's where we just talk about whatever, which is basically the whole podcast.
I like how Roddy fixed your pronunciation.
That was my favorite part. Wrong. You were like, chingaderas or something. I'm like, chingaderas.
Chingaderas. I like it when people do that.
I think, well, what about here, chingaderas? Chinga everywhere. What about the one y'all sent me where that person was kind of like... on like a roof. We got this crazy. Y'all sent me a text. It was kind of near my house, and it was about how someone was like had like a flamethrower and like tar and rifles, and was on a roof spewing like hate speech.
Oh my god!
But in Chicago, now we're
that's just your average Chicago roofer.
No, I picture that like in the burbs on a fluke. But I'm talking like we're in the city, and this is in a black and brown community too. On top of that,
yeah, Humboldt Park. In Chicago, there is a dude on a roof with a bunch of flags,
swastikas, other racist flags of some sort,
yeah, other weird flags holding. Like I'm looking at the picture, it's like a big time gun. It's a big boy gun. I don't know. Looks like he fired multiple bullets into motherfuckers on the roof.
Yeah,
and then. Yeah, he was there for a long time.
This thing lasted all day. It started in the morning, like 9 a.m., and it ended like around midnight that evening.
Whoa.
And the fucked up part was it was a Friday, so people still had to pick up their kids from the high school that's right there.
Oh, my
from
God.
A daycare that's nearby.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, where was he perched exactly? Like, what was the situation?
So it sounds like he was squatting, but also, like, built up scaffolding to be visible, like, on the street. And the neighbors have been like, yeah, man.
So he's in, like, a sniper's nest.
Pretty
like
much.
He created his own little sniper's nest with a swastika flag.
Yeah.
All right.
In a
black and brown community.
As
one does.
And that's what I was going to say. Can you give us some information about like the Humboldt Park?
So, I mean, like my neighborhood is just like they were describing in that article. It's like black and brown. People talk to each other. You're in tune with each other and what's happening. So, yeah, even on record, what's crazy is... Yeah, like a black neighbor who was like, yeah, man, this guy's like pretty solid. He's on one right now. He's just fucking flipping out. And he's like, all the neighbors have been complaining. His immediate neighbor was like, this guy was like showing signs. And now it's just like someone needs to get him down. Like this dude is on one.
Yeah.
And everyone in the neighborhood had been warning and calling and asking for help. But I guess like these laws are so weak in terms of like minorities being uncomfortable. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Even
so you're a minority, like there's no legal jargon or legal angle to be like, dude, that's fucking hate speech. Like get him off of this perch. And he's been playing racist and anti-Semitic music and clips and he's shooting guns into the sky. They've been saying that for like a week.
And even the neighbors though who live with him, like he's not always been like this. So yeah. Like, yo,
so that's what I'm saying like about the immediate he's neighbor been
cool
who's like
for a minute.
Yeah.
And like now he's doing this and like it's not cool. Like so it's not like people were like, fuck this dude for people accept him like, yeah, he was a cool dude. I used to talk to him
there's
all
no,
the time. Now he's off the fucking rails.
Yeah. There's no tolerable level of racism. But I think something has happened within the past few years, and I think like being secluded, being isolated, a lot of folks who are sort of leaning in certain directions, who are having these thoughts, fell into like the Reddit rabbit hole.
Or the algorithm's like, probably eating them up.
Exactly right. And so they found these little communities where they were able to go from like, they were tolerable to or even nice to some of their neighbors, right? That's like in the situation.
It wasn't a pasty Latino that was like, oh, he was a good guy. No, it was like a black dude who tried to talk him off the fucking stoop.
Oh my God.
This guy's on fucking Mars right now.
I think this is common, not this extreme, but I think this is common where anecdotally, I've talked to people who are like, I had people in my circle who like, I wasn't their biggest fan. I knew that they had certain tendencies or whatever, but they, within the past few years, have like flipped. Right, like they've gone to extremes, and I'm like, I think that's what happened, right? Like you said, the algorithm being in these silos, being isolated, being told, you know, being fed a narrative and buying the narrative and like ingesting it and going like, yeah, that's right. These fucking immigrants, these fucking black people, these fucking, like they just go through the list of people who have wronged them. They're aggrieved by.
What if it's both sides we're talking about? No services, but you're also convinced to think you're better than, right? So say you're like this old kook that was on the fucking sniper tower. And let's say you're like, you're now convinced that you're better than everyone else being white. But we also got no support for you at all in any way, shape, or form as a poor white. So now fucking deal with that. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Burning the candle at both wicks at the end of the day.
It's bad for everybody. It really is. It poisons people, their spirit, their, I don't know, their sense of humanity, all of it. And white supremacy isn't just about people of color suffering. It's everybody is suffering. This is awful. Yep. This is painful. So what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
It's a really, I mean, a lot of people don't say what you just said. It's really, is that everyone suffers from this. And I think about, it's the country's original sin. And right now, racism is tearing us apart easily. Like, there's a whole segment of the country holding us hostage because of racism.
The whole thing is, too, like, the origin of whiteness, right? Like, I think we've had this conversation on the pod before. The very origin of it was to divide and conquer. And it's been fucking incredibly successful. So if you look back in this country's history, it was looking at, they created whiteness right here. We created it here in the United States. There were hierarchies and all sorts of like, you name it. There was problems but whiteness specifically was created to divide and conquer. And it was like, hey, these people are sort of organizing, advocating for themselves, and they're agitating. Well, like, you know what? What if we make, for example, the Irish white? Right. Because at some point the Irish were not white. They were indentured servants. They were exploited. But like, let's make them white so that they can be a part of this thing that if we divide and conquer, then they could just look at the others and go like, well, you're not one of us. And that's exactly what happened. So that's kind of where we end up, right? Where they buy these narratives, they ingest it. And then here we go.
Here's what I want to share. I mean, this ties right to your chingaderas. And I found it this week. It's someone not even in tune with the history. It's like widows.
Read exactly what this.
It's the people that are banning books, and especially children's books.
A long time ago, way before
this fucker,
a group of white people made up an idea called race. They sorted people by skin color and said that white people
were better,
smarter,
book.
Prettier, looks, and they deserve more than everybody
you
else.
You don't read good.
This would be taught if we socialize. Our pre-K system. This would be tough.
Do you disagree with the findings in the book?
1,000%. How about we teach Jesus loves me? Teaching Jesus loves me loves the little children. The lyrics go red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious.
Does he know Jesus was a Middle Eastern?
Now, which one would you think would be better? I'll ask everybody on the panel. Which is better to teach? This? That is a story.
He has two sticky notes in this children's book. It cracks me up, man. He's a fucking fool. That was Bernie's. Sanders still active, still kind of challenging him, and like he's like, but that's like everything you're saying is like factual.
White people did. Yeah, it keeps exterminate going.
But, yeah,
Native people.
But you need whiteness, and that's the things we look at things now, right? Poor and middle class white people have been fed a narrative where, like Erica, you said, it hurts all of us. And it allows them to vote against their own best interests. So they vote against minimum wage increases. They vote against access to healthcare. They vote against because they've been told that that is shit that black and brown people and all these others, right? Like these people that you shouldn't associate with, they want these things. And you're better than that. And so they've been fed this shit and they've ingested it and they buy it. I'm like, that's the thing where we don't see or they don't see how connected they are to just the middle class and poor people and exploited people of all races.
Wait. Hey, the big fuck you is I'm surprised they convinced us that taxes go the way they are. Like all these, the more money you make, the more tax breaks you get, which like by design, it should kind of be the opposite. That's kind of been thinking like, you want to put money back in these people's pockets, it's like kind of, it should be backwards mathematically, right? Like,
there's a lot of problems with
everything you were talking about. I'm like, it's so fucking backwards. The people need the help, are convinced that they're better than and don't. But when they comes down to it, they need it. They're like, oh my God, I am a hateful person now getting like a low ass welfare because the states, the country's not very supportive financially. So you're voting against everything. You're voting away your rights and your well-being. And then you get this and mathematically it's fucking fucked. It's backwards.
If you consider something, one of the things that I like to think about is the fact that like we tax different forms of income differently, right? So if you earn income like the average person.
It's more than business income.
You go to work and you get a job. You know, you get a job, you go to work. And then you get taxed, right? You see FICO and all this shit. Like I remember being
everybody
16 and being,
sees that.
You're right? That's taxed aggressively, right? That's taxed.
Yeah, it's like 30-40%. It's insane.
I remember being 16, having my first job and going like, who the fuck is this FICO motherfucker? And why is he taking all my money? Right? Like I ain't making nothing and now I'm making less than nothing. Right. But like, that's one thing. If you make a profit from selling stock and doing these other things, that's not taxed at
it's like 15%.
Nearly the same rate. And yeah. I'm like, let's be honest about this shit. Cause y'all are talking about bootstraps and if you work hard and you're gonna be able to like then why do you tax this income differently? Yeah. The average working class person does not have investments. They're not part of a VC firm. They don't have these different like why are you taxing the money differently? And it's because the system is set up to fuck you over.
It's fucking backwards.
Exactly.
And then when they look at it, they're like you're gonna tax me $2 million. It's like, yeah, on the fucking $15 million you made this year.
Yes, yes.
It's not like we're taking $2 million from your net worth. You made that this year. And that's so like when they say like, oh, you're taking millions from me, it's like it's every year. Think about how much money they make each year. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, if you were taxed like a worker, you, on that 15, you would lose like six.
Yeah, you'd be paying like $7 million on that 15, like we do when we work our jobs. Yep. But they don't want to do that because they're like, it's so much money because you are making so much fucking money.
And these motherfuckers have access to lobbyists and have access to all these things. Then they get to talk to their representative, all this shit. And then they go, hey, let's change these rules so we do all right. Like, I don't give a fuck how they do. I just want to make sure that I'm doing okay. I'm keeping as much money. And the argument is always like, well, if you let these people keep as much money as they can, they're going to invest it back in and it's going to trickle down, right?
Oh, what?
No. That shit has been bullshit since the 80s when it originated. That fucking rate. If you look at anything that's terrible in this country, you could pretty much bring it back to like Ronald Reagan, right? Right. So that's one of the places where it originated. Trickle down economics, right? Like, hey, you let them keep as much money as you can, and they'll piss, and that'll dribble down to your poor fucking ass.
I want to talk about something related. They're trying to push through. It's like AOC and some other folks who have a reasonable idea in their mind of limiting public officials, governors, senators. From trading like publicly traded companies because there's been a trajectory where they're beating the market every time during this COVID recession, during other recessions. They're making like 15 to 50% on their investments where the average is like 5 to 8. But some are so evident and there's no laws against it where they're on a committee for agriculture and wildlife.
Yep, yep.
And then they're like betting on fucking salmon stocks or some fucking
bullshit. Oh my God, it's insane. So sick.
And then they're selling it like a month. They're buying it on like before an announcement's made. They're selling it a month later. It's so fucking blatant. It's not even a long investment.
It's like Clarence Thomas. It's that
blatant. Oh, he is getting pimped. Out my dude. I forgot about him.
But it's like, no, think about sports betting. Like you won't let an athlete
bet. Because they're involved.
Or a coach because they're involved in what's happening.
That's a great analogy.
But fucking senators and House representatives, they're involved in
betting on corn, right before they pass a corn law.
They can control all that shit and then bet on it and then make money off it because they already know what's gonna happen. They are rigging the game. So yeah, like it's that's shit. Been it's really bad. And then like, so any like yes, the NFL is like, don't even, if you even pretend to bet as a that? Player, yeah. Like Calvin Ridley's yeah, been yep, gone for like 2 years because he bet like on the app for like, you know, on him yep, on his own team.
Oh wow.
But like we can't even hold Congress even close.
But you know why we can't? Because they make the fucking rules and they go, why would I change the rules that I'm benefiting from? And this is both fucking parties.
Well, yeah, I hope it's this goes. This is new though. That bill could go through, and they should like.
It's not gonna go through.
You're a public servant, but you're playing it real private right now. You know, you're making these plays. It's really fucked up.
Call me cynical, but it's not gonna go through because these people who are coming in making whatever they're making, I forget how much the average senator or representative makes. They then end up leaving Congress, or after a couple of years of being in Congress, suddenly they're multimillionaires. I'm like, well, how the fuck did that happen? Right? What, and the only way that it did happen is
hard
because...
Hard work.
Gumption?
Bootstraps.
Y'all know the student loan forgiveness just got shut down.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Which I thought it was a sure thing. I thought a president could just do things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Antiquated process they went through. And then it was all Republicans voted against it. And then like two or three Democrats, they swung across the aisle.
Oh my God.
So it lost and that shit might not happen, which is crazy. Ugh. I hate being told I'm going to get something and not getting it. That was kind of nasty looking back on it.
Terrible. Horrible. I have a question from someone from Instagram. She says, I am a Mexican-American female. I currently work at a police department dispatching for a university. Though I have my own opinions about the police, the university pays for my tuition mm-hmm. while I'm a full-time employee. I work with a lot of older white Republican men, and I often hear comments about people not speaking English or comments about border control. My question to you is, how would one carve out a space for themselves as a Latino in this kind of environment? I feel outnumbered, and a part of me does, like, if I say anything, believes that if I say anything, it will not go over so well.
Damn.
I mean, if I'm being real, like, reality, like, if you say something in that environment, it will not go over well.
It just won't.
And your job would be at risk. Like, just being real, like, this is, like, real advice, like, your job could yep. be at risk. This is just facts from life. From people I know, from shit I've seen,
mm-hmm.
and particularly at a police department, like, oh my goodness, yeah. And
I'd be very tense yeah. the whole time,
every day,
so tense. So it's tough because you're getting this benefit of your tuition being paid, but I guess it depends on how it makes you feel. To be there, if it's a place that makes you feel like you're losing your soul, then it's not worth anything, you know. Like you can't live in that way. So you have to make that choice. So I'm not sure how much it affects you psychologically, but if you are unhappy because of the environment that you're in, then it's just not worth it. You know, like there's got to be another way. And if there isn't, there isn't. But you can't be in a place where you feel, you know, like you can't be yourself, or you can't, I don't know, feel good about what you do.
And like, I mean, if you feel judged, like don't. Like, I mean, people have to do what they have to do.
That's true. Something we got to remember.
And, yeah. You know, and it's not just that. Like, you probably took this job in earnest thinking that, like, that you could make a difference. And you found out, like, wow, yep. I'm in this police department, and this is the way that these people are here. So, you know what I mean? I think that, like, you know, you shouldn't feel bad about that. Like, you should feel good in that you're recognizing what's going on and, you know, do what you can to make it better. But also look out for yourself. Like, you're doing the right. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing the right thing.
This is the impossible situation that a person of color is put into every single day, every day, where you have to figure out, you have to do this intense, complicated calculus to figure out, like, how much of what's going on can I tolerate? Like this whole idea of assimilation, right? Like I have to assimilate into these systems that I know are harmful, but at the same time in this situation, I know also benefit me. Like I have a personal benefit here.
And I can grow.
And like I can grow. And I can
perform or do.
I can, I can help my family. Yeah. I can do.
No, it's hard.
And this is one of those like mental labors, these cognitive labors that we don't think about of just existing as a person of color, right? Like we've all, I think every single person in this room has had this conversation, like how much can I stomach? How much can I push back? I have to feed my kids.
Yeah.
I also have to like
get through school.
I have to, I need this benefit. I know it'll get me. And I'm like, it is fucking tough. And I wish I had a better answer for this person, but I'm like, we're all in an impossible situation. And I don't know if this helps you, but like, we're all there, right? Like you're not alone and your decisions as much as you're going to critique yourself and worry about it. I'm like, I get it. And please do continue to like be skeptical of what you're doing and how you're doing, like all of those things, but also like have some empathy for yourself. We're all in this place. It's an impossible place to be.
I will just say that certain jobs have destroyed my mental health. And I just think that's something you should think about if that's the case, if you feel like the job is affecting you in that way. Like I said, it's just not worth it. You have to be healthy. You have to be good. So yeah, consider all the things, make a decision that you're going to be proud of and that you're going to feel, okay about.
No Chingues is a depressing podcast and at times. And we like to end it on a positive note. So here we go. This is Si Chingues, where we say one or several positive things going on that we're reading, that we're watching, that we're experiencing in our lives. So I'll start. I think I've expressed my love for Costco many times on this podcast.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's gross.
My entire wardrobe, my diet, everything, you name it, it's Costco. So I'd like
in
to give
large quantities
in all of the quantities. Absolutely,
we're gonna start calling him Kirk.
Sure. As a matter of fact, my Si Chingues is all Kirkland brand products because they are high quality and amazing things.
Dude, they're paying you under the table. I know it. You just say this out of left field anytime.
So again,
he's Kirkland, on the payroll. He has to be
Kirkland. Amazing product.
But he does look. Like he's wearing all Costco brand clothes, though?
Yeah.
Just all the time?
You're saying it like it shouldn't be a flex? But it's a flex. So it's absolutely a flex. My cargo shorts.
Yeah.
My Kirkland socks.
It's facts.
I'm drinking only Kirkland like liquor.
12 pounds of chicken in his fridge. Like, he didn't need to do that.
In my cargo shorts. Yeah. 12 pounds of chicken in my cargo shorts.
It's his whole personality.
Damn right. So that's one, but that's a given. That's a standing, like love, right? my second one, I just watched Across the Spider-Verse, the animated Spider-Man movie with Miles Morales. Again, it's animated. It's one of the best fucking movies I've ever seen. Definitely one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen. Artistically amazing. Like these people put some fucking love and care into this movie, and I'm just gonna say, like, it was a good fucking flip. Wow.
I think it's the one. Is there one or two? It's the only animated one, right? So it came out a while ago, right?
So it was the first one was Into the Spider-Verse, and this is Across the Spider-Verse.
This one just came out.
This one on Friday.
It's the best movies ever seen in his fucking life.
Wow. The first one was great.
This is better than the first one. So if you saw the first one, it's better.
I gotta say, Kid Cudi came out with a movie that was under marketed and had the similar vibes. It was like a cartoon or like comic book vibes with really good music. Kid Cudi just writing a little story. Aww. Anyway, forget the name.
I'll wait till this isn't it for a comment on that.
Yeah, but I have one that's very quick. It's not much to add, so I'll pass it along. And I was sitting at like a window, you know, one of those window bar seats to eat like a quick meal. It's just very American of me, probably.
Scarfing it down.
Yeah, probably. I was eating like a little pizza slice on a bar, high bar stool on a window. And goddamn, like we're talking about all this shit we're getting played in many ways as citizens, as peers. But like, what really took me back to basics was I was sitting here at the window and I saw a little kid riding by wearing like an octopus, like hat. Mm. I don't know. It was like an octopus thing going on, riding a bicycle and sipping on a Slurpee. And it just took me back to like simpler times before like all this shit was, we were aware of it. I know it's been going on for decades.
Ignorance is bliss, homie.
Goddamn, I felt that. We talk about it so we can all stay in the know. But also, like, goddamn, get on your bike, throw the fucking octopus hat on, and just fucking step away from the phone for a little bit. Because I feel like the past few years, all I've seen is kids on phones and iPads. And seeing this, like, back to reality moment was like...
A kid from the 90s.
Shining, yeah.
You know what?
Stranger Things. That's why people watch Stranger Things.
You know what
Things.
Represents that shit for me, like to the 100th degree, is the those. Remember those barrel juices that weren't juices?
Yeah, like color like water.
Colored water.
The quarter, so nasty.
Quarter water.
Yeah, quarter water. Whatever you call them in your distinctive
food
like,
coloring
area,
water.
It was that for me with the foil top.
Yeah.
That shit represents like childhood, right?
So
like
sugary.
My mom didn't let me buy those, man. Your mom hated you.
Maybe.
I'd like to talk about this. Oh, you don't have one. Okay. This artist that I started listening to, Silvana Estrada, and the album, I've been obsessed with this, Marchita, and it's very, very beautiful, and there's something very haunting about her voice. And she's very young. She's like in her mid-20s, something like that. So I've been really enjoying that. And also, I don't know if I told you, but it's my birthday. And it was really cool. I did a lot of fun things. And I had some very tasty smoked chicken wings.
Sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all got some leftovers that reheat.
Yeah,
right?
No, I was here for some of it. Yeah, that's why I've been drunk the whole time. It was a barbecue, and it was nice out.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Chicago.
Yeah. I also got here earlier than I had to because
The weather. I had diarrhea.
Yeah,
it slipped right in.
Literally.
You slid in the room like right Kramer out. Off the diarrhea.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not ashamed. Less everybody gets diarrhea. Like everybody poops. Remember that kid's book? Everybody gets diarrhea.
Never heard of it. Yep. I know so much.
Well, friends, give us nice feedback. Tell us how great we are. And
a lot of thumbs up.
A thumbs up, a high five.
Stars.
Wink.
Stars, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hugs. We'll take any of it. All of it. So, we've been doing this shit for a year, and I don't know what we're doing next, but it's been really fun, and it sounds like I'm breaking up with the band. That's not what I'm trying to do. Anyway, no, this is...
We're going to do the same shit.
We're going to keep doing this shit, you know? But maybe different, you know? Why not?
All right.
Okay.
We just found out about this now.
So okay.
Cool. Yeah. Bye-bye. I don't know what that means. It's right. Ominous, but
I'm the creative director.
Yep. I know. We know that. That's why it's ominous. Yes.
You just make it up titles. That's very ominous.
Bye.